And it is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, your host. This week we have with us Bruce Helmer, the founder of the Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor. Bruce, hello, and I hope you're doing well, and I know we have a special guest this week.
Thank you, Susie Jones. Yeah, Peg has got the week off, but we're very fortunate to have with us an old friend of mine. Sam Richter is joining us. I'll tell you a little bit more about Sam in a second. But our topic today, listeners and Susie, is cybersecurity and your money in the AI era. We, fraudsters, hackers, people are increasingly coming after us. High net worth people are targets. And we've talked about this before. We actually had a show on this in February. But today we're going to go a little deeper in terms of AI. We didn't really talk about AI in February and how this new technology are allowing these criminals, these hacksters, these people that want to get at your personal information and your money, how they're using AI. And Sam is actually a specialist and an expert in this area. Sam is the founder and CEO of SBR Worldwide No More. He trains organizations on the advantages and pitfalls of online and AI. He's a motivational speaker. Most importantly, he's just a good guy. Sam, we've known each other almost 20 years now, isn't it?
It's been a long time, my friend. And, I always enjoy speaking with you and seeing you.
And I know Sam as well from my years in broadcasting. How are you, Sam?
Good. It's been way too long since we've spoken, so nice to hear your voice.
And to you as well. All right, Bruce, take it away.
Thank you, Susie. Sam, I want to get this out, too, and I'll repeat it. If people are impressed with what they hear today, and who could not be, every time I talk to you, I gain from the experience. You can find Sam at www.samrichter.com, SamRichter.com. He can train your organization. He can speak to your organization. He's in both the Minnesota and the National Speakers Hall of Fames. He's a great speaker. And Sam, on the topic today that we're tackling, I don't know anybody more qualified than you are. Again, Peg and I, neither one of us is technologically proficient as you are. Peg's better than I am. I'm a complete nincompoop, but you're a specialist in this area. And we talked a little bit about this in February, but neither Peg or I know enough about AI and what's going on. And it may have even changed since February. That's how fast the technology is changing. So today we're gonna dig in a little deeper. We're gonna talk. AI makes our lives easier. Everybody's using it to MapQuest or find where they're going or to get something off ChatGPT or get help with this and get help with that. So it's helping our lives, but it also makes fraud or somebody coming after your personal information or your money a lot harder to detect. Sam, welcome.
Well, thank you. And the challenge with any new technology, Bruce, is it always seems like the bad people maximize. I don't know if that's the right word, but take advantage of the technology first. And frankly, the reason for that is all of the companies I work with that want to use artificial intelligence. And by the way, there's a difference between AI and generative AI like ChatGPT, which we can talk about. But the people who want to use it in a good way always run it through compliance. There's regulations. I mean, that being in the financial services industry, people are very careful. They run it through legal. So the companies I'm dealing with are being very thoughtful about how to use AI. The challenge is the bad people don't care about that. As a matter of fact, they wish that compliance and regulation wasn't there. So a long way of saying that these technologies are incredibly powerful. We're kind of making it up as we go along in terms of the rules because the technology is changing so incredibly fast. And because the bad people don't care about compliance or regulations or being thoughtful or doing the right thing, they're taking advantage of it, I would say, even faster than some of the companies are.
Well, in addition to being a specialist and an expert on this, I know you also, through your career, you've had close affiliations with my industry. You've done a lot of work in the financial services industry.
Yes.
In fact, your son has gone into my industry as a financial advisor. Congratulations on that. But what are some real life stories that you've seen, that you've encountered in your work that you can share with listeners, because some of these things are just jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, statistics, and this is the crazy thing, they have to be self-reported, right? I mean, so take this number. But according to statistics, in 2024, there were $16 billion tied to AI fraud or AI-enhanced scams. And those are coming from things like the Internet Crime Report. Again, that's going to be self-reported. How many of us even report when we get scammed? So some of the ones, the areas that I've seen that are probably the scariest right now, and I even do this in my presentation, so I'll set the stage for you, and you'll understand how it works so well. I can go to anybody's YouTube. You know, Bruce, you're all over the internet, right? And or I could even listen to this radio show and record maybe 2 minutes of your voice. All I need is a still picture of you, and give me 15 seconds, and I can create a FaceTime video that looks exactly like you, that sounds exactly like you, that talks about, oh, hey, you know, I'm in, let's say you're out in a vacation in a Wisconsin cabin. You call your assistant with a FaceTime video that looks exactly like you. It sounds exactly like you. You know, maybe you posted something on Facebook that says you're at this Wisconsin cabin. A bad person could call your assistant and say, hey, this is Bruce. You know, I'm at the cabin in Wisconsin this weekend. You know, we forgot to wire money to so-and-so. Here is their name. Here is their routing number. Here is their account number. Because it looks and sounds exactly like you, many assistants, I'm not saying yours, Bruce, but many assistants will do what their boss tells them to do. And we see examples of that over and over and over.
Is that what they call a deep fake?
That would be a pretty good deep fake, yeah. And doing phone calls is even easier. Now, where this comes really hard is, you see, what makes bad people really good is there's good people. And what do I mean by that? Most people like to be really helpful. Your friends, your family, certainly, your coworkers. And so when they get a phone call or a FaceTime that sounds and looks exactly like you, they want to be helpful, so they'll do what they're asked to do. We see a lot of this with elderly, right? You know, a child calls an elderly parent, asks for money. It sounds exactly like the child. And more often than not, the parents sending the credit card number over.
So, Sam, I think everybody listening right now is probably aware to some degree or another, you know, that our world is changing with technology and our world is changing, you know, with AI. So I think, you know, probably everyone can accept that, yeah, this is a new reality and I need to change with it. But one of the ways I think, you know, and one of the great reasons to have you with us, being an expert in this, is maybe to give people some things that they can do to protect themselves better. When we talked about, you know, protecting yourself from identity theft and whatnot in previous shows, again, we didn't go into the level of detail on AI because neither Peg or I understand it the way you do. But what are some things people should know that you would can share with everyone today?
Well, I'm going to give one that's super simple that will hopefully help anybody, any company or any individual avoid most of this. I call it the secret word. Every single person has to have a secret word. So, Bruce, your assistant you need to tell her or him that you have a secret word. What does that mean? If your assistant ever gets a phone call that looks and sounds exactly like you, that's asking for money, your assistant needs to ask you a question that only the two of you would know. Now, in work, it might be something like, hey, what did we have for – just curious, what did we have last week at our all-employee meal? What was the main course? What movie did you go to? Something that only the two of you would know. From a parent and a child's perspective, you need to set that in advance and just say, hey, anytime you get a call from me, even if it looks, sounds exactly like me, text message from me, email from me, ask me a question that only the two of us would know. And maybe that might be something like, what was the name of our gerbil when I was in second grade? You know, something that only the two of you would know. By doing that simple, human, you know, we have all these text-based captchas. Remember, you know, you had to click this and do that and drag puzzle pieces. You can do a real simple CAPTCHA with your assistants and your family members by just insisting that everybody, anytime that there's any question related to money, the other person needs to say, what's the secret word?
That's a great first tip. What are some other things that you can share?
Well, the first thing is to slow down. Really look at like these. It was pretty easy in the past. Like you'd get one of these emails that looked exactly like it was coming from your bank, but then you'd look at it and you'd see some spelling errors. You'd see an address that didn't make sense, an area code that didn't make sense. Unfortunately, with generative AI, it's quite easy to replicate a website, an email, and so that's less and less. But still slow down and give yourself the common sense test. Like if you get an email or a text message or a phone message from a bank or you're a financial advisor and they're asking for money, they're asking you to sign something, slow down and ask yourself, hey, has anybody ever asked us that? You know, wait a second, my advisor always calls me. He doesn't email me or text me, or he sends me a link with a one of those secure document links. So slow down and use some common sense. Double check. So if you get a phone call from your financial advisor or a banker or somebody that's asking for money, hang up. Just say, hey, wait a second, I'm just going to call you back. And then you call the person back using the phone number that you know is accurate. So a couple of tips like that. Obviously, we want to avoid hacking. So you must use really strong passwords. And this is interesting. A lot of we've all kind of been drilled into our head that we have to use these passwords that none of us can remember, right? And so we end up writing down the password, which is probably the least secure thing you can do. So one thing I always recommend is use a password manager. So I use 1Password. There's a bunch of them out there. The other thing, your passwords, they don't have to be super complex. They could be something like maybe your password is, I hope that the Vikings win the Super Bowl sometime in my lifetime, and I was born in 1963, because you got to put that number in there. You can have like a sentence, obviously no spaces in there, but you can have a long sentence. And in fact, that's probably more unhackable because it's so long than one of those goofy passwords. And then you have to use multi-factor. And what that means is in your settings of almost all of your financial services accounts, it's most likely required right now that you have to put in a second factor authentication. What does that mean? When you log in, you're going to get a text message or what are called pass keys. Those are the new security. You put your face up to it and it's got to verify your face or your fingerprint or something that's called dual authentication. So those are the big things that you should really look at. Long-term, I always recommend that people just freeze their credit. What does that mean? It's a pain in the rear end if you're opening up an account. How often do we open up accounts? Freeze your credit, and that means nobody can open up an account under your name. It's really easy to do. It used to be difficult. It's really easy to do. Just go to Google, type in how to freeze your credit. You can go to the 3 credit bureaus, Equifax, etc., and they'll be links right on their main pages how to freeze your credit. When you freeze your credit, that means nobody can open up an account under your name, not even you. And that's where it can get a slight annoyance, I'll say. When we went and leased my wife's car, we had to unfreeze the credit. Super easy to do. You log back into the account, you unfreeze it for 24 hours. So those are some simple steps that everyone really ought to take.
If you joined us late, Peg is off today, but we're very fortunate to have Sam Richter with us. We're talking about cybersecurity and your money in the AI era. Sam is a recognized nationwide expert and speaker and trainer and educator on these topics, how to use AI, how to use technology, how to use it for good, how to use it in the business world and make connections and learn information about clients and whatnot, but also how to protect yourself. Sam, some of this I've been writing down, following along, in terms of listeners and information that they can use to better protect themselves I love the idea of a secret word that only you and your someone else know, that you set with you and a family member, or you and a fellow employee. You said slow down, double check, verify the source, strong logins, but you mentioned something I wanted to follow up on, because I have the problem of not remembering my password or having something I'm familiar with, and then I try to use it, and they say, well, you can't use that password. It's too similar to one you've had before, and that makes me come up with a new one, and then I can't remember what I came up with, and I don't want to write it down because I know that's a bad idea to have it sitting somewhere in writing. So I'm often having to go in and reset passwords because I don't remember what they are. But you said something called a password manager. I don't even know what that is.
Sure, it's a third-party application, software application, that basically stores your passwords. And then when you log into an account, whether that's a financial services account or a your Star Tribune digital account, your WCCO digital account, you log in, and it automatically fills the passwords for you. So it will create the password. It stores the password in the password manager software, and then when you put your cursor in the area where you need to log in, it will automatically fill those out for you. So now the challenge is some of these password managers have been hacked, and so you've got to find ones that have super high reviews, that have very tight very tight authentication, and making sure that really only you can get into it. Some of the best ones are probably the higher rated ones are NordPass and 1Password. And so what you do with those is you set up your master password, and that could be something quite long that can be, nobody else would be able to figure it out. So you make sure that you memorize that. And then there's a lot of other ways you can verify it as well, if you forget your master password. But once you forget, or once you create your master password, the password manager will take over for you and really automatically input anytime you're going to a website to log in. So again, the two best that really haven't had hacking problems where the passwords have been given out are NordPass, 1Pass. Probably the next one down might be RoboForm. There's a few of them out there, but make sure you get one of those. And I'll give you one other tip for your financial ones. Because these systems, they're still technology-based, so theoretically they can still be hacked. Even when I use my 1Password, and it's crazy, I have more than 1,000 different accounts where I log into, right? And most of the time I just let my 1Password take over. However, anything that's a financial services account, the 1Password automatically pastes in the password, and then I have a set of 5 numbers that I always add in afterwards. So not even 1Password has my full password to all of my financial services accounts. I let it log in under its, whatever it might be, a 25 letters, numbers, characters. 1Password will fill in my password, but then I still add in 5 numbers at the end. So I hope that wasn't too confusing. But go deeper there if you have any more questions on that.
Sam, we've got a couple minutes left in the first half of the show. Listeners, get your questions ready for Sam in the second half of the show. Let's take advantage of him while we've got him today. Sam, really quickly, we've talked about some ways, really good stuff, and how people can maybe protect themselves. But what if it's too late? What if you've been scammed? You've been hacked? Now what do you do?
Well, the first thing is to call the company where the hack occurred. They might be able to get your money back. Wiring money from a bank, that is a tough one to get your money back. But credit card statements, financial advisors, sometimes we complain that, wait a second, why does it take, why can they take money out of my credit card account in just a few seconds, but it takes me a while to move money around from one account to another? That can be sometimes frustrating, but the flip side of that is if you've been hacked, if it's a bank, an ACH transaction or something like that, you can call the bank if you do it soon enough, and they may be even to be able to put a halt on it. A lot of credit cards, a lot of banks will even insure, for lack of a better term, unauthorized transactions. Now, it sometimes can be, we've heard horror stories where individuals, even though they didn't make it, if the bank says your username and your password was used, we can't prove that you didn't make it. It can get a little bit tricky there. But so the first thing to do is call your bank, your financial advisor, your credit card company. The second thing is go file a police report. Report it to the FBI. Don't be embarrassed. I mean, it happens to really big, sophisticated companies. So don't hide it, because the quicker you act, the faster you might be able to get some recovery.
Good stuff. We're about due for a break, Susie. Sam and I will finish up our conversation in the second half, and we'll get as many listeners as many questions from listeners as we can in the second half of the show, Susie Jones.
That sounds great. 651-461-9226. We're already getting questions, so we'll have them for you on the other side of this break. Again, the phone number to text your question, 651-461-9226. We're talking about cybersecurity and your money and AI and what you need to do to protect yourself. We're back after this quick break. All right, we are back for the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones. As always, Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement and financial advisor, is here with us. Also, Sam Richter, an old friend, with great information. And if you have questions about this topic, cybersecurity, your money, and the AI era, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Bruce, we've already got a number of questions coming in on this, so I know you'll recap, and then we'll try to get to some of these questions.
Thank you, Susie Jones, and thank you for being with us, Sam Richter. Again, if you joined us late, Peg is off today. Sam Richter's the founder and the CEO of SBR Worldwide No More. Sam trains organizations on the advantages and pitfalls of online intelligence. You can find him at www.samrichter.com, SamRichter.com. SamRichter.com. Sam, when you go into a company, what do you talk about? What do you do? Do you have multiple different things that you can bring to the table depending upon what the company's looking for? Talk a little bit about that work and what you're doing for corporations.
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, there's really two core areas that I focus on, two and a half, I would say. The first one is digital insight. So in the world of AI, one of the things that unfortunately we're seeing is just a lack of trust, right? Because of what we're talking about, everything can be faked. And so especially as it relates to sales, building trust and building really not so much relationships but relevance, you know, you really need to show the other person that you care is so important. And so I talk about how do we actually use digital intelligence to find information on others and what they care about so you can connect and really gain permission to ask deeper questions. The second topic is generative AI, so how to use it to create massive efficiencies and allow you to really do things that were previously you were unable to do because they were too expensive or they were too technical. I mean, all those barriers have gone away. So how to really leverage generative AI as a business, as a true business partner, not just a technology, so you can focus on what only humans can do best, which is connect with people. And then the half one is, in all of my presentations, I talk about digital reputation and also the ethics and morals in what we're talking about today, the security issues related to, you know, everything that's good can also have a bad side. And so we touch on that as well.
I got to tell you, I've heard you speak before and you're fantastic. But Sam, I can't tell you how many times over the years I've encountered somebody that it just comes up organically or conversation that I know you, and they say, we've heard him speak before. He's fantastic. He's awesome. I've lost count on how many times that's happened. So, again, I know we're very, very fortunate to have you with us today. So, listeners, in the first half, we did talk a little bit about some things you can do to protect yourselves from losing your identity or losing your money. I'm not going to, you know, go through the whole list again. And then we talked a little bit about if it's too late and you do get scammed, what should you do? Sam, before we go to questions from listeners, final thoughts on this topic or something that you absolutely want to make sure that you mention today. Take that opportunity now, a key takeaway for everybody listening.
Yeah, keep it simple, right? I mean, so the three biggest ones, because we can go, you know, password managers, of course, get one of those, and multi-factor authentication, all those things are really important. But the three simple ones you can do. One is the secret word. Do that. Anybody you're dealing with, family members, friends, business associates, anytime somebody asks for money, they need to, before you give the money, you have to ask them what's the secret word. The second one we didn't touch on, but it's also a very simple one. I recommend that people have a separate email address for their bank accounts. It's easy, and you know, and you might even spend a little bit of money, $10 a month, to get a professional email address. But even if you used a Gmail address, use a different email address for your financial services accounts than you would for all of your other accounts. It's just another level of security in there. And then just use common sense as the third one. You know, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. If you get an email from your advisor that asks you to sign in for something and you've never received that before, before you sign in, call your advisor and ask, hey, did you send this? Those three areas will probably eliminate, I'm just going to pick this number out of the air, but it's probably fairly accurate, 95% of all issues if you were to just implement those three techniques.
So I'm going to ask you a quick question that probably no one is going to ask today, but a lot of people are thinking it, but maybe they're embarrassed to ask, but people have asked me. Should we be afraid of this? We've all seen the movies, the sci-fi movies where computers take over the world and they destroy mankind. Where's this going?
Well, with AI, we're what's called artificial narrow intelligence. So these systems are fairly controlled. They do a single type of a task. Now, where this is moving is into the next area, which is called artificial general intelligence, where these systems can start to think like human beings. You may have heard the term agentic AI, where these systems start to make business decisions without human involvement. I don't think we'll see the promise of agentic AI, like what it really could fully do, where, I mean, it's automating our pretty much everything we do in our lives. We probably won't see that for a few years. And then the third area of artificial intelligence is called singularity. That's where these systems have a higher EQ and a higher IQ than everybody on the planet combined. Should we be scared? I think we need to be cautious because we're entering into technologies and without a lot of guardrails. We're going at warp speed right now. And these technologies are changing all the time. So there's always unintended consequences with these. So I think we need to be cautious. Where we see Terminator level, you know, where they're taking over the world, is that going to happen in our lifetime? No, I don't think so. Our children's? Maybe. Our grandchildren's? Absolutely. So I think one of the things we need, you know, is as we look forward into the future, is our schools and us as parents and employers and just generally as people need to start bringing the concepts of ethics and morals and what's right and what's wrong, because it's as we were talking about today, it's going to be really, really easy where the fake world becomes sometimes better or certainly more unethical than the real world.
That's great advice. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And then, Susie, let's let listeners take us the rest of the way, but I'm curious, what's your connection with Sam personally, and do you have a question for Sam?
Oh, aren't you nice. Sam, I was just thinking about it. What organization did you work for where I did interviews with you? Because I'm looking at your bio, and I'm trying to think, I'll let you answer.
Oh, I think it was, there's probably been a few of them, maybe when I was at Digital River.
Digital River. Mm-hmm.
And then I ran at the time it was called the James J. Hill Reference Library.
Yes.
Where our goal was digitizing the library and making it available to the world. So I think it was probably one of those two.
Okay, very good. You know, I was just, what I wrote down when you were talking, because this has happened to me, and we will get to the questions because there's some people with that. But the embarrassment factor, because, Sam, I had it happen to me, and I fell for it, and I was in such a panic because I thought someone had taken $4,000 out of my checking account, and they called or they texted and said they would text me or I would text them my code. You know how they say, don't ever give this code to anyone. But they were so skilled at getting me into a tizzy that I kept giving them the code. And before it was all done, I think I was into the bank for like $7,000, and I called the bank and they said, and now they have a big fat warning on the Zelle on Wells Fargo. Do not, you know, there are people that are going to try to get into the Zelle system and convince you that there's a mistake that's been made, and they're going to get you to give them that code they text you. Oh my gosh, it was awful because I was so emotionally untethered. You know what I mean? I think that's what happens, isn't it?
Oh, it's happened to me too. And it is like your heart just goes, ah.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest thing to do is to calm down and just go, okay, the good news is let's hang up. So, I mean, there's going to be that little feeling you have. It's like, wait a second, why do they keep asking for this code? This isn't normal. Hang up. Call your financial institution. Immediately explain what's going on. Hopefully they can put a stop to everything. Mm. And usually they can.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you follow your, file a police report. Unfortunately, the police are so busy, it probably won't do much. But what the police report can help you do is if you need to file an insurance claim. And by the way, that's something you can talk to with your insurance. Many of them are now offering. It can be quite expensive. I mean, relatively.
Yeah.
But certainly for businesses, get some form of cybersecurity protection. There are policies that will protect you from doing silly things.
Hey, Sam, that's a great point. We've actually mentioned that on the show. I actually added that to my homeowner's insurance policy, where for a certain amount of premium, you can get a certain amount of financial protection. The higher the protection, obviously the higher the premium, but they've got tranches of it. And my property and casualty agent, you know, brought that to my attention, and I just thought it was a great idea for the amount of premium I'm paying to get that protection. I'll tell you, I feel better and I sleep better at night.
I bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, the bad people are getting so sophisticated that the biggest thing to do is just calm down, slow down. You know, if you start and hang up. Right. Just
hang
up and say, hey, I just got a call from Wells Fargo. Are you really asking for my username and password? No, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm. Someone just texted on these same lines, you guys, saying, what about best practices for Venmo or, you know, Cash App or all those? Are those vulnerable as well, Sam?
They certainly are, because somebody can hack it's much easier. Hacking is hard. Impersonating is easy. You can certainly impersonate a friend. You know, to create those accounts is relatively easy. You can go on someone's social media profile, grab something, grab their username or that maybe is one letter different, create a Venmo account, use their picture to create the Venmo account. What's nice about Venmo, and I'm not as – I don't use Zelle, not for any – negative reason, I just don't use it, but I do use Venmo. And on Venmo, there is a setting that you can click that requires you to also enter in the individual's phone number. So even if you find their online account, that before I can even send you money, I have to type in the individual's phone number. So there's a little bit some security in there. They're not, you know, those are the ones that aren't foolproof, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not – I've never tried this, but I have heard that if you get hacked in Venmo, you're not getting your money back. I mean, once it's gone, it's gone.
Should we get to some questions there?
Let's do it.
All right. This person says, if my husband froze our credit at the three bureaus, do I need to freeze mine also if my card numbers are the same?
Yes, because the credit, it's also tied into your Social Security numbers, your bank account numbers. If everything is the same, I'm not sure, I'm trying to think. But everybody has their own credit number, own credit bureau. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every individual has their own credit score. So, for example, when my kids were young, I froze my kids' credit. Because why? Because somebody could open up a bank account under my kid's name. And how would I know? Right? Until you go and you try to get a loan for college, you know, Mr. Richter, we'd be happy to give you that loan as soon as you pay off that $73,000 credit card debt.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, get it on everybody.
The next one comes, are third-party authenticators secure?
Listen, is anything online secure? Probably not. But are they more secure than me? That's my question.
Yeah.
Yes. So if I'm using 1Password and they're spending, if you look it up on the company, tens of millions of dollars to secure their systems, do I trust them more than I trust me and my Post-it notes? Yeah, I do. Again, but that's also why I have some, I still, like I mentioned earlier, even when I use 1Password, I have 5 individual digits I add at the end. That's the actual password. I hope that makes sense what I'm saying. It's easy to show it on PowerPoint, hard to talk about it over the phone. But so even those, I always have the secondary system set up as well, so the dual authentication. So even if I use a password manager, when I log into any of my accounts, my email accounts, certainly my financial services accounts, I've got to secure it. You know, I get a text message or whatever it might be. They make me look at my phone and verify the through facial recognition. But so I've got the double authentication. And the other thing is make sure you have all notifications turned on. So that's another layer that we really didn't talk about today. So on all my financial services accounts, if somebody spends a dollar on a credit card, I get an email and I get an instant text message. That's not always been great with my wife because sometimes she'll go out and buy me a birthday present and I know about it. And so I learned to keep my mouth shut over the years. But yeah, I do have a funny story on that one. She was throwing a surprise party for me and I was like seeing all these credit card charges coming and I was like, what is this? You know, kind of ruined the surprise.
I guess.
But you know, you can have all these different levels of protection. You know, they're easy to set up and they add a little bit of annoyance, but they make you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam. To that point, I want to take that ball off just a little and run with it a little further because I get this from clients. You know, I might say to somebody, you know, if you bank online, you might be able to get a higher interest rate than your local brick and mortar bank. Or I might ask them for information through the Wealth Enhancement Client Portal, and they express concern and for their safety and the safety of their money. And I try to tell them, look, you know, all of us, you know, are potentially vulnerable to a breach, but that is actually safer than the more traditional way than you want to do it, like signing something and sending it in the mail or sending a check through the mail. It's actually more secure. Nothing's perfect, but it's a matter of degrees, and that's actually probably safer than the old school way that you've been doing it. Is that a fair way to explain that?
100%. I'll tell you something that drives me a little bit crazy. Bruce, if you and I were to, you know, you as a financial advisor, if you were to send me a document in the mail with my Social Security number on it, you would be breaking the law. You can't do that. And yet, because I'm a speaker, I speak about 100 times a year. So last year I filed taxes in more than 30 states. I think it was 33. And I'm still getting messages, you know, letters, physical letters from the different states, usually with refunds because I always overpay. And the letter has my Social Security number on it. So, you know, the government's not even following their own rules sometimes. So that's why it's super important, because how many of us have street side mailboxes with no locks on them? A bad person could go in and they say, ooh, Sam got an email from the state of Connecticut Department of Revenue. What do you think there's going to be on there? So, yeah, these online methods are certainly can be a lot safer than the traditional methods of mail and even phone calls.
All right, 651-461-9226. A texter wonders, are QR codes ripe for fraud and malware?
That's a great question. I use QR codes all of the time. Could they be hacked. Yeah, they really could be, because you could create a QR code. Now, you'd still, the challenge would be not so much the QR code per se, but if I were to create a QR code, I'd have to go on your website and swap it out, or my PowerPoint presentation, or that physical document. But theoretically, now that I think about it, and the listener brings up a really good point, because I hadn't thought about this before. How many times have we gone into a physical building? Let's say a menu, right? You're at a restaurant, and you know, you got, since COVID, so many restaurants still have this. They've got a little, you know, I ask, where's your menu? And they say, we got to scan the QR code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually like a little sign that sits on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really easy for me to walk in and swap out that QR code on that menu. And then when the person does it, yeah, I'm not going to do this, obviously, but so I wouldn't. Somebody could put malware behind that QR code, or information that's gathered, even on something that's innocuous as a QR code that's a menu. So yeah, I think that's something to think about that I had not thought of before.
Well, thanks to the listener. 651-461-9226. Texter writes, what are the best ways for keeping passwords and password information for the executor of your estate? I bet that's something that a lot of people, and Bruce, probably you hear this too, that could be complicated when dealing with someone after they've passed.
I am so glad you asked that, and your timing is perfect, because this Tuesday at Hopkins Center for the Arts, and people can reach out to, I think, Hopkins Center for the Arts, or it's a breakfast business leadership series, or just send me an email. I'm easy to find on Google. The reason I mention it is there's a woman, Dr. Mary Kelly, who is a great speaker. She'll be speaking there. And one of the things she talks about is exactly what that listener just asked. She actually has a free book, and it's called Break the Glass, and something like that. But basically, it's something that's so important that you go through with all of your loved ones, where you basically create the three-ring binder of everything. Where are all your passwords stored? What is your master password? What are the accounts that, you know, all of these accounts that we have monthly subscriptions to? What should you cancel and what should you keep after I die? Those are really important conversations to have that, unfortunately, I'm sure, Bruce, I'll turn it over to you. You have some stories where it causes nightmares when they haven't done that planning on the front end.
It absolutely can, but I don't have time to go into detail because I think Susie Jones is about to give us the hook. Sam Richter, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. I'll see you soon, buddy. And again, that's Sam. What was it, Sam? How do we get a hold of you if we want to?
Yeah, just samrichter.com, or just type my name into Google and pretty easy to find.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Good to talk to you, Sam.
You.
If you didn't get your question answered, 1-888-6-ADVICE, or email yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Make it a great week.